So we've been in this study in the book of Exodus. And in it, God has been showing us how to exit the life of bondage and how to enter the life of blessing. And God is giving us vision. He's giving us faith on how to follow Him every day and how to follow Him all the way as we are on a journey to the promises of God, to experiencing all that God has for us as His children in Christ Jesus. And so we've been in a sermon series called Journey to the Promise. And we've already learned that on our journey to the promise, that it's important that we understand, number one, that God leads. God is leading us on our journey. We no longer lead, but we follow. We are followers of Christ. We follow the Lord now. As we said earlier, every day and all the way, God leads on our journey to the promise. We also learn that fear is not our friend. It's something that the enemy uses all the time. He knows that if he can get the people of God walking in fear, that they're going to sit down instead of following God to what God has for them to do and for who God has called them to be. So fear is not a good thing. It's a tool of the enemy. So as we are following the lead of the Lord on our journey to the promise, fear is not our friend. And I imagine most of you have opportunities every single week to deal with fear, to either allow it to control your life, to mess you up, and to rob your joy and your peace, or when fear confronts you, you say no, and you stomp on it, and you walk forward in faith, letting God lead you to His promises. I had to deal with that this week. I mean, almost every single week, fear comes in some way to try to grab me. I got to say no. By the grace of God, I can say no. Whew, thank you, Lord. Third thing we learned on our journey to the promise is that God will make a way. Because there are times when it looks hopeless, and there are times when we are desperate. How do we find our way out? How are we rescued? It's in God. It's through Him. God is the one who will make a way. So we don't fear. We turn to God. We look to Him. And He'll make a way when there seems to be no way. The fourth thing we learned is God is worthy of our response. He's moving in our lives. He's giving us breath every single morning. He's blessing us. He's providing for us. He's so good. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He's taken us out of darkness into light. God is so good, and He's worthy of our response. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of us turning to Him in all things at all times. He's worthy of our response. The fifth thing we learned last week is that also on our journey to the promises, God is leading. God refreshes. He is a God who refreshes us. The world does not bring refreshing. Most people in this room have gone to the world in one way or another looking for refreshing. And you've been disappointed. God doesn't disappoint. God refreshes His children. And this morning, we're going to conclude this series with the truth that when God leads, He provides. God provides. Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. God provides. That's the title of today's message. When God leads, He provides. Now, this is going to be a short message because we're enjoying a Selah service. And everyone was like, how come I didn't hear any? Oh, no. We like the long messages, Pastor. Preach it. Make it long. We love more. Anyway, this is going to be a short message. Oh, thank you. My heart is warmed. I feel blessed. Thank you. We're going to be enjoying some more worship. We're going to be giving, as we said earlier, each of us in this room an opportunity to walk right up here and give thanks to the Lord this morning because He's worthy of our response, as we've learned, right? So we're going to have an opportunity to respond to Him this morning. We're going to have an opportunity to see some people's lives just continuing to be changed from glory to glory as they go into the waters of baptism. Praise God, it's a great morning. It's a great morning. So God wants His people, though, to know that as He leads us on our journey to His promises, that He provides. So we're going to run through five chapters in Exodus very quickly right here. And we're going to see circumstances, instances, examples that God provides for His people as He leads. Because as we look at Exodus chapter 16, we see that God's people were hungry, but God provides. He provided manna. He provided quail. It says in Exodus 16:4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you." This is how God leads. He provides for His people. And there may be some people in the room right now who said, "I need God to rain down some bread from heaven for me right now." Maybe it is actual food, provision. Maybe it's just that you just need Him to rain down His peace on your life right now. God provides. He will open the gates of heaven and pour out provision for His people because God provides. He's the same today as He was then. He loves us and provides for us, His children, today, just as He did back in the day, as they say. Then we look at Exodus chapter 17. God's people were thirsty. Again, they're thirsty. But God provides. The Lord instructed Moses in Exodus 17, verse 6. He said, "Strike the rock, hit it. Hit that rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." God's people were again thirsty. God didn't let them die of thirst in the desert. No. He provided for their needs. He provided what they needed. We talked about that in length last week, about how He provides that refreshing that we need when we're walking through a dry and weary land where there seems to be no help and no water and no refreshing. God provides. I want to just point out something that I'm seeing right now, just in this particular passage about God told Moses to strike the rock. I mean, who would ever think of looking for water in a rock? Seriously. God provides, but sometimes He does it in interesting and mysterious ways. I've talked about this many times. We cannot put God in a box. You pray for healing and you think, well, it's got to look this way. Come on now. God provides water out of a rock. I need provision. I'm looking for this to happen in my life, this kind of provision. I need God to show up, and we have these preconceived ideas of how God is supposed to act and how He's supposed to provide, how He's supposed to refresh. And God's saying, "Hey, I make water come out of a rock. I'm God. I'll take care of it. Don't put me in a box." And I imagine there's some people in the room right here today that need to tear down that box and let God be God in your life and let God provide the way God wants to provide. Let Him be God. Let Him lead. Let Him do it. He'll surprise you. Also in Exodus chapter 17, we notice that God's people were being attacked by an enemy, the Amalekites. But what happened? God provided. God provided the victory. God provided the defeat of the enemy. God showed up and He provided, because when God leads, He provides. He takes care of us. We jump then into Exodus chapter 18. This is the fastest I've ever preached through Scripture. Woo! I'm moving. Keep up. You all are reading all the other verses right in between these. You're keeping up? All right. Okay. All right. So chapter 18 of the book of Exodus. God's people were getting tired. They were getting tired, in particular the leaders, Moses. They were getting tired. But God provides. God provided Moses with the help that he needed in order to accomplish the task that he was called to. First of all, back in chapter 17, when they were defeating, God was defeating the Amalekites. And He was saying, "Moses, as long as your hands are raised, you know what? You're going to be having the victory. You're going to be taking them out. But if your arms fall down, look out." You know, so what happened? Moses could only hold his arms up so long on his own. And then what? Help came. to help him hold up his arms. And then Moses, Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to him and says, look, man, you are working yourself to the bone. You're not going to be able to keep up. But this is God's call. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my life. I know it is. I'm convinced this is what God's called me to do. What do you mean? Well, you need help. You're called to do this thing, but you're not called to do it alone. You need help. I mean, look at the stage. Look at up front earlier. Sean Donaldson. Okay, he launched us into the iHelp program. He's leading the iHelp program, but he's not doing it alone. Did you see how many people were up here? Could you imagine Sean every single time doing all the work, making all the food, doing all the serve, everything? He'd be long gone by now, let me tell you. Right? But he has a calling, but he's not called to do it alone. So when God leads us, and when we say yes to him, and we walk into those hard, seemingly impossible things that God is calling us to, please say yes to him, by the way, when it seems impossible, when it seems hard, and when you're desperate and you don't think you can do it, just say yes and walk forward, because what happens is when we do that, God provides, and he provides help for us, and he brings those around us, as we saw up here this morning, those around us to help accomplish what God is calling us to do. And this is another reason why we're in fellowship with one another and why we're part of the body of Christ, the hands, the feet, all the different parts of the body working together for the glory of God to accomplish his call, his purpose in and through our lives, and for him to be glorified as the body of Christ is working together, as these 17 churches are working together to eradicate homelessness in the East Valley. When God leads, he provides, and he provides help when we need it. Praise God for that. It says this in Exodus 18:21. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. And then in verse 21, but select capable men and women. I'm going to throw in there because we got some very capable women here too. Very capable. Select capable people from all the people. Men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. It was just about a month and a half ago that we installed a deacon team because we need help. Because as God is moving and as he's growing, as he's expanding, we need help, and we need to call those capable people up to places of leadership to help further what God is doing in and through the church. Then we go to Exodus chapter 19. God's people were lacking faith, but God provides. God showed his people his presence here in chapter 19. He showed his people his presence and allowed them to hear his voice at Mount Sinai. I believe one of the big reasons is so they would have faith to follow. To follow him, to follow the one that he called to lead them, Moses. They needed faith, man. These people were grumblers, complainers. They were hurting. Read it. You've been following along, right? They needed help. And God said, man, they should just figure it out. I've done so much for them. God continues to show up to help his people have faith to follow him, because he doesn't want us missing out on all he has for us. He doesn't want us missing out on him. So, in verse 17 of chapter 19, it says, then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. To meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from that mountain like smoke from a furnace. And the whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The people got to see that. God wanted all of the people to see that. He provided that moment for his people to hear his voice, to experience his presence, so that their faith would grow. Then look at Exodus chapter 20. God's people needed direction. And God, again, provides, because God provides. That's what he does. He's our provider. God provides. God provided the Ten Commandments. God gave His law, His truth, His precepts on tablets of stone. He wrote them for the people to give them direction so that their hearts would be turned to His truth, so that their hearts would be turned to Him. God provides. God has given us His Word, the Word of God, to give us direction. God has provided that for you so that you don't have to wonder, who am I? What am I doing here? What's life all about? You don't have to wonder, where am I going? How do I get there? God has given you direction. He's provided it in His Word. That's just how good God is. So on our journey to the promise, God provides. He gives us, as it says in 2 Peter 1:3, He gives us all we need for life and godliness. God has given you all you need. Sometimes we don't understand that and we don't see it because our eyes are clouded and we're looking all the wrong places. God has given you all you need. Seek it out. Seek Him out. You have all you need in Christ Jesus. You have all you need. God has provided you with all you need for life and for godliness. God provides. God pours out His glorious riches on His children. He says, ask, and it will be given to you because God provides. Ask. And this weekend, as we launch into Advent season, we're reminded of this, that God has provided us with hope. God provides. God stepped down from heaven. God became a man and brought us hope. Jesus is our hope. I love the definition of that Greek word for hope. It's deep desire and great expectation. Jesus is our deep desire. He's our hope. He's our great expectation. He's our hope. God provided us with hope. He provided us with Jesus. He provided us with salvation through Christ. God provides. I'm going to ask the Gregoriches to come forward and light our first Advent candle. Can you believe it? It's already Advent season. We're going to light the hope candle this morning. It's back there, and there's even a lighter all ready for you. I bought a new one this year. I didn't have the faith to keep going on the old fumes. You know what I'm saying? As they light the hope candle, I want to read Romans 15:12-13. And again, Isaiah says, this is in verse 12, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in Him. He's talking about Jesus. He's prophesying about Jesus. The Gentiles will hope in Him. And then in verse 13, Paul continues, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God provides. He provided for the Israelites, His people, on their journey to the promise. All they needed, God provided. He provided, even when they were grumbling, complaining. Even when they were lacking faith, God remained faithful, and God provided. And He continues to do that for us today. And He did that 2,000 years ago as God provided His Son. He provided salvation through Jesus Christ. He provided us with hope. God came and provided hope for all mankind, that whoever would believe in Him would not die, but have everlasting life. God is good. He provides. Now, Thanksgiving Day was just this past Thursday, but we're called to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. I want us to respond, because God is worthy of our response. I want us to respond this morning to God and to His provision and to how good He's been to us. I mean, if nothing else, He's your hope today. He was your hope yesterday, today, and forever. He's your hope. So what I'd like to do this morning, We're going to start lining up for right here, this microphone, and we're going to have a time of rapid fire thanksgiving because God provides. And here's what we're going to do. Just give a short testimony, a short thanks to the Lord of what He's done for you in this past year. How has God provided for you? How has He shown up? What's He done in your life? How has He rescued you this year? Has God healed you this year? Has He? I know there's many, many people in this room have experienced the healing hand of God this year. Has He defended you in some way? Has He brought healing into a relationship this year? Has He provided for you financially? Has He come through in a miraculous way? Has He just continued to give you life even when you don't deserve it? But He has remained faithful even when you have not been faithful. How has God provided? This is our chance to glorify Him with our mouths, with our testimonies, with grateful hearts. For He is good and He is worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen. Let's testify to that.